Welcome to The Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. Also, all podcast catchers, iTunes, iHeartRadio, YouTube, everywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, and it's Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and thanks for joining us. We've been having a great time already, and as always, I'm going to turn this around, but that's my camera. That is my co-host, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Hello, good evening. I'm enjoying this month so far. We're doing a double feature this week.
Yes, we are. We're doing double features all week, maybe not next week, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, this is, we've got somebody that we're just meeting and really digging, and somebody that you and I have known for years. He's a creature of the night. If you go out into Hollywood nightlife, especially the dark scene, you go to vampire balls, you go to goth clubs, you go to anywhere around here,
when
you might run into
him. Balls, they think of me.
Yes. There he is, Jeffrey Dammit.
Hello there.
Why we have not had Jeffrey Dammit on the show before, I have no idea.
That's a good question.
I had to save up the gas money to make it this far down Sunset.
As long as we've known you...
40 blocks from my house for 21 years.
As long as I've known you, and as long as you've been around, I don't know why I haven't had you on.
Yeah. That was the nicest way somebody said, you're old now, aren't you, Jeffrey?
Well, that makes two of us. Also, yeah. By the way, there's somebody else that's old. He's right next to you, and he just directed
you. He's 22. He's just had a rough life.
Hi.
Apparently, 16 and is really having a troubled childhood.
It's a rough 16, brother.
Yes, but he's known as Zombie Dave. Dave Rita. He's an actor, director, and you just filmed a short film with our friend Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'm giving you the excuse to have Jeffrey on.
Well, actually, Jeffrey's the one that booked you, but...
He's giving me the excuse to have me on.
Right.
I'm giving him the excuse to give you the excuse to have me on.
There we go. Well
okay.
done.
Okay.
See why I casted him? That's what he does.
Right.
I was
digging around with his camera so long, I forgot the name of your movie again. It's...
As Good as Dead.
As Good as Dead. I knew it was As Good as Dead. It kept defaulting to As Good as It Gets, and Jack Nicholson's not in your movie.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's what
he was booked, and there was traffic or something. He texted me, and he just never made it.
Right. There were zombies in that movie. Before we get started, and this is going to be quite a freewheeling conversation, as you can see already.
Hello.
Nicole, but well, I got to talk about our sponsor real quick.
Yes, you do.
It's right there, because I got to keep up with you guys and your energy. So I'm going to have one of these. This is Raise Energy Drinks. Now, Dave's holding one right there.
Ooh, photo op.
That is the South Beach flavor. Tastes like pina colada.
I have to try it.
And the best part of it, and you're going to love it, zero carbs.
Hear that, you guys?
Zero calories. Zero crash. Now, this is an honest opinion.
It tastes like a laser.
Okay. Laser, is that another energy drink? Or
no. I just like an actual laser.
Oh, laser. Oh, giving you energy. Okay. Let me see. Mine doesn't taste like a laser. Let's see what mine tastes like.
Mm. It's pina colada-y.
Yeah, it's very pina colada-y.
Wow, you can really taste that coconut.
No, it's good. You
got to put the lime in the coconut. Don't forget.
You can't get this at 7-Elevens. You can't get this at the grocery stores. They have the gyms and GNCs because of all the electrolytes and amino acids and all that stuff. Look at that. Electrolytes, amino acids, all that stuff. The best part about it, as I said, zero carbs, zero calories, zero crash. And if you go to our podcast description on Spotify or wherever you're listening to us, or YouTube, just go ahead and use that code and that link that's in the description of the show. You get 15% off a case. Don't pay full price. We're giving you 15% off. Raise Energy Drinks. I love it. Anyway.
It's zombie recommended.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Now, Nicole, when did you first meet Jeffrey Dammit? This is what I want to know.
Oh, my goodness. It might be over a decade. It's a long time ago. I don't know. Do you know?
Jeffrey, when did you meet Nicole Six?
Hold on. I'm literally, a friend of mine's texting me. He's in a predicament and asking for money. I'm literally sending somebody a couple $100 right now.
Oh, well, we'll go to Dave. We just met Dave.
That's the kind of actor I hire. The kind that is willing to give somebody $100. Speaking of which, Jeffrey.
I almost just sent him $25,000. No, $250.
You don't want to do that.
I can use $25,000 right now. Let's make another film.
Yeah.
By Jeffrey Dammit.
That would be actually really fucking rad.
Now, you...
Jeffrey Dammit presents.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Okay.
Now, what? Now I was going to ask when you met Jeffrey Tamman, but I saw it. It's on YouTube. That's Jeffrey interviewed you.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, the day we met is documented on video there on YouTube.
Those were fun days. I used to do a lot of those red carpet interviews. I worked for Buzzline for a while, and it was all good horror stuff they'd send me out on. And yeah, I really enjoyed doing those red carpet interviews, and I got to make lifelong friends like Dave Rito over here.
Yeah, that was the fun thing, is when we did that interview, it was fun, and we were promoting the festival and my movie, but just even right there, we had so much fun doing the interview, our banter back and forth. Jeffrey's just very quick, witted. And it was, and I was trying to think of
something funny to say on that, and I have nothing.
I got it. I got you, bro.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we were able to bat it for back and forth very, very quickly like that. And when you find another, someone who's able to keep up with your comedy or just your wit, it's right. rare.
No,
so,
I know.
I right there, I was like, I know I want to work with this guy someday. Unfortunately, it took us like, what, 10 years? Yeah. But
and a global pandemic.
But
which was weird filming in a global pandemic. It was
We're gonna get to that, so yeah.
But I just thought, like, even then I knew that someday we were gonna do something fun together, and luckily this project came along, and I feel like it was perfect for him. I mean, he really killed it. Pun intended.
Yes, but you guys both, I mean, you have darker sensibilities and also great hair. Yes. And interesting facial hair, and you did then too.
We did. A little more stripey then. The Battle of the Beards does continue. Unfortunately, Jeffrey's winning today.
Well, he retired. But,
well, Jeffrey's always won.
Always does. It's true.
I wonder how many years of my life I've spent grooming my facial hair.
Well, if I recall correctly, weren't you entered in a few beard contests?
I was. That's a whole long story.
Well, we're going to hear... is what I want to hear about. Because you see my beard's a fucking disgrace. But you guys, I got it down. It's high and tight. And you have, like, the... Right now, you got, like, little stripey things on the side. And
that's
like,
usually what I do, too. But it was so funny. I was like, well, since this is not going... I don't have to worry about... it's just an audio podcast. I don't have to worry about my stripey beard today.
Well, no, it gives you distinction. Otherwise, you'd be sitting here and be like twins.
Yeah, that's the other weird thing is us, like, I just happened to, like, we premiered this movie at the Chinese Theater for Dances with Films about a month ago.
Right.
And I just randomly, I'd never just dyed my hair before, never done it any colors before, and I just decided, you know what, I'm going to dye my hair blue. And so I dyed my hair blue right when Jeffrey dyed his hair blue. And
hair was blue two freaking months.
Okay. Well, I don't pay attention to things like that.
So I see on the interwebs that he's at the salon getting his hair dyed blue. So I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to pick another color.
Right.
I can say fuck on your show, right?
Yes.
Oh, please, we encourage profanity.
I did the red, though. The red is
cool. We encourage profanity, yes.
So his turned red. Mine faded to, like, this weird greenish blondie thing. So I'm just like, we're good. We're totally different now. We're totally different entities.
See, you guys go to the salon. I just slap it on at home and ruin my bathroom. Yeah.
I cut my hair during a Zoom meeting before this.
So you do your own hair and your own... This is what I want to get to. It's the beard. Do you do that yourself?
Yeah, I cut my hair.
What's the secret? Because I just can't do it. What kind of trimmer do you use?
Just straight lines. It's a Gillette Sensor I've had since the 90s. Two-blade razor that's harder and harder to find replacement things for that looks like it's a... I guess it is an antique probably at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Aren't we all?
The silver is all like corroded of the handle.
Does it have that one blade on the back though? So that you can do the...
This is before
that technology.
There was no three blades.
Yeah, no, this is
that was sci-fi.
So are you doing that and then throwing on some Old Spice with that or what?
Aqua Velva.
You got to do the Aqua Velva. Yes.
Of course. What was I thinking?
Yeah, he's a real man. Look at this. This is great. You guys. I was going to say you guys are a comedy team, but you started on Sketch Colony.
I did.
So you're used to setting people up and also having people set you up. For sure. Jokes.
You didn't find in your homework that I am also a graduate of the Second City Conservatory.
That's Sketch Comedy. Of course.
Wow. Okay.
Of course.
I didn't know that. That explains a lot. That's phenomenal. I
moved here from Chicago. And
I know you grew up in Chicago.
Right. And I'm flipping through the weekly and I'm like, oh, there's a Second City here. Let's go see a show. And I'm like, oh, it's just the school. And I'm like, wow. I'm joining that.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you did Second City in Chicago. You did it here.
No, I started 21 years ago when I moved here.
Wow. It's been there that long?
It was in the side room at the Improv on Melrose.
Okay.
When I was doing it.
Oh, all right. Yeah, because the Second City on So they had their own studio for a while.
Yeah, they on Hollywood Boulevard. I really don't know where they're at right
yeah,
now.
I'm a horrible
alumni.
No, you are repping Second City for Hollywood.
I recommend it.
Yes, the
it's a damn good time. It makes you a better actor. I don't know. You tell me after you see this zombie movie if it makes you better.
We saw it and we liked it, but we're gonna so you guys are used to playing freeze tag and doing all sorts of improv games and
I haven't done it in a while, but yes, I actually I ran a sketch comedy show for 3 years here, and every Monday night
right into the ground
on for 3 years. And we
you're not supposed to say anything negative when somebody's talking.
Affirm everything.
If he says that he ran a sketch comedy troupe, then you go with it.
Right. You're supposed to wait till I stop to say something negative.
Or... Yeah. Well, it's not a roast. We're doing sketch comedy.
Right on. But anyway, I did this sketch comedy for 3 years, and every Monday night I had to teach them a new improv game every Monday night for 3 years. So wow. We had played everything by that point. Yeah.
Right. Because freeze tag is the only thing I remember. What is your favorite? Yeah, what is your favorite game?
My favorite game of all time is called Oxygen Deprivation. And what that is
you, now we're talking about sex.
You have to have a big tank of water to play it.
Okay.
And at all points, one cast member must have their head completely submerged underwater, holding their breath, while the rest of the cast members are doing this, carrying on this scene. Now, at some point, the person underwater is going to run out of air. So they're going to have to be tagged out. So the person that tags out has to come up with a reason why they're leaving the scene, then submerge their face in the water. The person coming back into the scene has to completely justify why they're all wet. This was all fun and games until the one time they stuck us on an airplane. So we had to justify why we were coming in all wet. So finally, my favorite was I came in. I was like, man, that wing walking is a bitch. And things like that, but it was it's a hard game to play, but it is my
It needs a stronger punchline too.
But I think the insurance. I don't think
Second City had that game.
If you're coming in all wet, sometimes people can't get out of a scene, so you're just stuck submerged on there forever.
How does somebody not die doing that?
You hope that your cast members are gonna love you and not let you die.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. That sounds more BDSM than sketch comedy.
It got to one point. I was holding my breath so long, I started tapping I have a ring on. I started tapping the outside of it because I was about to go out one time, and they finally pulled me back out of it. But the audience loves that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So
sketch comedy made you tap out.
No.
Yes.
Well, I guess so. Yeah. Essentially, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Or else you would have died, and we wouldn't have your wonderful movies and get you on the show.
But I did die because I'm Zombie Dave, so that could be the origin.
Is that the origin story?
We'll go with the origin story right there.
Because I was going to get to Jeffrey because I've met Jeffrey. I know.
Yes.
When you were hosting,
I was there when I met you.
When you were hosting Bar Sinister years ago.
Yeah.
And you were
2002 to 2007, I think.
And you still list yourself like on your IMDb and certain places as host actor.
Oh yeah, he was hosting something last year, weren't you?
I host things all the time.
During Halloween.
You're a great host.
Thank you very much.
You were literally like a Halloween host at one of the.
Oh, I did the Insomniac. The people who do EDC and Escape Psycho Circus. We did a drive-through rave. So I brought back me as my ringmaster costume. Yeah. And
I think I went to that.
I think you're thinking the Endless Night because I know you had the ringmaster.
No. Did you drive through in a car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was the ringmaster who yelled at, I believe, 1,100 cars a night for 3 months. Welcome to the circus, my friend. So nice to have you. Enjoy the show. I believe we did the math, and I think I said that in some fashion about 45,000 times.
There were a lot of cars.
So you have to do it for every car.
Every car that came by. Welcome to the circus, my friends.
Now that's a host.
No, he's a great host. And the reason he's a great host, that gravelly voice. Now, what's the secret? I wish I had a voice like that. How do you get that?
You go back to 12 years old and start smoking Marlboro Reds.
Oh, if I could only go back in time, I would have.
It was a
MC
bad
career.
Idea. I've been 3 years smoke free. No offense, Dave, but I'm very happy. And also the whiskey helps.
Yeah.
Whiskey and cigarettes, you know.
It also helps when he's trying to be a zombie for me. That worked out really well.
Right, as good as dead.
There you go.
As good as dead.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that. You guys have got so much other stuff. We're going to get to the movie right at the end.
We got a lot of stuff.
We got a lot of stuff. So how did you become Zombie Dave?
3 years ago, I was on Facebook back when, I guess 4 years ago now. 4 years ago?
Hi. Well, that'll turn anybody to a zombie.
Time frames. 10 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to interrupt, but I'm like, maybe this is a they don't need to know my real age thing.
Right? What am I saying?
As long as it wasn't MySpace, geez, those people are old.
Let me change when I was the host of Sinister to 19.
That's why I was vague about the years. Yeah. So
I got vaccinated yesterday, and apparently it makes my brain not work. Anyway, so 10 years ago.
No comment on that.
Right. 10 years ago, I was running a film through the festivals called The Whore of Our Love. And we were running through festivals. We had done a bunch of festivals. And I had a month break right before October. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? I've been promoting like crazy on Facebook. I can't just go dark. So
Can go dark.
I could. It's in my name. Mark.
I couldn't. Yes. So just as a joke, I decided to make a Facebook post that the zombie apocalypse started in L.A. And I got bit. Patient zero bit me, so I was patient one. And then because I'd done all these film festivals, I had a bunch of filmmaker friends all over the country. And so they started posting these little 30-second Zombie Dave sightings all over the country. And I was doing that. And the original plan was that my film company was going to capture me, cure me, and then I was just going to go on promoting like it never even happened. Right before I did that, though, my Facebook went crazy, and then there were all these blogs going, what is, you know, because I was telling a story all on my wall. So they just started going crazy, and then I realized that I had to basically become this weird thing that was a zombie-esque character.
So it's a viral war of the worlds.
Basically, yeah. And I mean, so how it wound up going is my film company wound up capturing me, curing me well enough that they still have to feed me brains. I'm still a zombie. I'm still dead. But I can direct movies, so they're happy.
Oh, okay. Well, you're not the only brain dead director out there. But
nope. Hollywood loves me.
Jeffrey just pointed to me so I could put the camera on him while he coughs.
No, I was making sure I didn't ruin what anybody was saying.
Oh, okay.
Saying, hold on.
No, I would never cut that out. That's the funniest thing.
That was the most
He put his finger up, and I was like, oh, Jeffrey's got something profound and hilarious to say.
I said, hold on 1 second, so I didn't ruin his take, and I coughed. And I was like, yeah. I'm a professional.
One of the famous Jeffrey Dammit witnesses was coming. I can't wait for this. And it's like,
he was even tapping me on the arms.
That's the smartest thing I've said in years.
Yes.
Wow.
Now I gotta get something straight because I'm very confused. Now I've always known you as Dammit.
No, you always knew it incorrectly.
Damn. This is like a Mandela effect. I was so fucked up today because I made the flyer. It says Damn It with an M. And then I look on all your social media, it's damn it, like it's supposed to be spelled Dammit.
I couldn't go with a slang spelling. I had to keep the damn's integrity.
Is this a surprise to you, Nicole?
I know his name integrity. Was Dammit.
What the fuck's wrong with me?
Well,
people mess up and make my first name three syllables. They do E-R-Y.
Right.
I'm like, people are like, is that not right? I'm like, Jeff Urie. I was going to say, who says Jeff Urie?
He has it on his license plate.
guy from Toys R Us?
No.
They didn't.
He says Geoffrey.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
Right. We're not even going to go there.
Right.
And when, by the way, this might be a good time. RIP to my friend, whose name was spelled Geoffrey, Jeffrey Grant Calvin from Las Vegas, who died of COVID. Ooh. But he's a comedian. Very funny. Very nice. Now that I brought the room to the halt. No. I brought the room to the halt. So how do you, you come from Chicago.
So let's be funny again.
No. And you're going to be. But anyway, so I didn't think Jeffrey spelled G off would actually get somewhere in the show. But anyway, so you want to become an actor? You're in Hollywood. You become your model as well. We're gonna get to that. But how do you become a host? How do you become like that's really where your bread and butter is?
I mean, I get my bread in a lot of different places. I love gluten. I started in Chicago. There was a club called the Dome Room. It was the Limelight before the Dome Room. A lot of people knew it. same deal as the one out of New York. Turn of the Dome Room, it was a goth industrial haven.
Mm-hmm.
Open 4, sometimes 5 days a week. And I was a regular there by the time I believe I was 17. And they had offered me the job of host.
And what's the drinking age there?
21.
Okay.
they're closed. They can't get in trouble. I'll say what I want. Mm-hmm. So I'd been, after a couple years of hanging out there, by the time I was 19 or maybe 20 at the latest, they started offering me this host position, which was very loose. There was this host before me, and it was, you know, when there's a line, you're the one who has to be like, they're regulars. Those two, they look amazing. Let them in, let them
in. Oh, so you're the velvet rope guy.
Right. But also, like, if nobody's dancing, you can dance. So if nobody's dancing, go start dancing in the middle of the fucking dance floor. Get up dancing.
Yes.
Keep the party going.
Right.
And they wanted to pay me and let me drink free to take this job. They were very by the books there. I kept turning this job down because they were going to need to Xerox my ID and Social Security card.
Right.
Told them I was not allowed to be in the room.
Right. By the way, saying Xerox does date you, but go ahead.
Something should date me.
So they called him on his answering machine.
On the rotary phone.
Yes. Right. I'm still connected to the wall.
And then somebody took a Kodak picture of you.
So they had to scan my QR codes.
Damn this fax machine.
And so when I turned 21, I obviously took this position, and I also took a bartending position at still one of the most amazing clubs in Chicago, Berlin, on Belmont.
Right.
Love that place. I was just there a month ago. But when I turned 21, those were the two jobs I took, and the host position was not really a get on stage and grab a mic thing, but there were a couple bands that would play every now and then. There was a Moby signing on stage, and I was just like, you know, when things are going on and everybody's not paying attention, it's weird that they just start. So give me a microphone. And now, just started getting up there and making people yell for people. And
you definitely get people's attention when you're on stage.
Yeah, thank you.
As I've seen other people do what
you
did.
Presence.
Yeah, you did. When you're on stage, that's it. Everybody's focused on you.
Oh, thank you very much.
And
easily one of the best hosts in town. Like, I can't even think of right off the top of my head competition for
Ryan Seacrest is much more of that.
maybe Ryan Seacrest, but other than that. Now, how's the goth scene in Chicago? Because I was there once. I actually played a goth festival there in 2007. And I love it. First off, I love that Midwest accent. So I'm hanging
you
out.
You have an accent, not me.
No. I'm hanging out with dominatrixes, and they're like, "Yeah, I love to spank that ease." I'm like, "This is great. I love this shit." But how is the goth scene in Chicago?
I mean, when I was there, it was thriving. I still wear my dog tags from Neo, which was pretty much everybody's favorite, especially once Dome Room went away. But there were great goth nights at Exit. Neo was a 4 o'clock bar that had been there since 78, I want to say. That was really, really a hub of goth. Other places had goth nights.
Right.
But once the Dome Room was gone, if you were part of this world,
yes,
you were going over to Neo and drinking a lot till 4 or 5 on Saturdays. And
that sounds like a lot of fun. No, Chicago's a fun town. Like I said, I was only there once, but man, that was a fun week.
Yeah.
I was there for a horror. I was there for a horror convention I was signing my book for, and it was really cool. Also, I don't know how to explain this, but the sun sets differently because there's not.
There's no smog,
It was a different experience. And I remember it felt like the sunset lasted longer because there's no obtrusions or something, like no mountains. I don't know. There might be mountains in Chicago, but there wasn't where I was looking at the sun. So it sort of lingered like a big red orb, and it was really cool. I just remember the sunsets.
Well, you know, after that, I think this is a good time to tell everybody about our new sponsor. Since you went on a tangent like that.
Chicago sunsets.
Yeah, not too many people talk about Chicago sunsets quite like that. And I think there's a reason. You've been dipping into your Renegade CBD, haven't you?
Oh, guilty. So we have a wonderful sponsor, Renegade CBD and RenegadeKush.com. And they supply me with little gifts of different things. I'm waiting on my white chocolate delivery of CBD white chocolate. And these edibles are amazing. And they also have bath bombs, which are just lovely. You can just dip into your own sunrise.
So go to RenegadeCBD.com and RenegadeKush.com. And
dip into your own sunrise.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a
You'll be staring at
right
the sunrise
around.
For quite some time. Wow, man, there's no mountains, dude. Anyway, Dave, are you from L.A.?
I feel like it. I'm from San Jose originally, but I've been down here the last 21 years, so I kind of feel like I'm from here now.
Right. So in San Jose, you were you got really immersed in horror stuff when you were a kid.
I definitely did. My grandparents in the 40s, they were in Kentucky, and they had a bunch of Rita theaters and drive-ins and things like that. So they were showing all the Universal horror movies, and then my dad was selling popcorn and whatever. When I came around here, I'm dating myself now. When I came around, that's when the VCR technology was invented, and then they were able to show all these movies again. And I would sit there as a little kid in between my dad and my grandpa and listen to them talk about how all these movies went through the theater and how the filmmakers or whoever had planned the audience to do this, but it didn't work and it did this.
Oh, the Tingler and all that stuff.
Right, or things like that. And I was just sitting there sponging it all in, not even realizing all this information amazing information I was getting. And
by the way, kids, VCRs, they used to have these little tapes you would put in a machine, and then you could watch a movie. It's
I was about to add to that. Because then we got a video store right across the street from my house.
Oh, that's great.
Renting every 80s horror movie.
I like how Mark said you put tapes in it like they know what tapes are.
Right. Oh, yeah. By the way, tapes are... Trust me. Yeah. I'll explain it to you audience later, but it's pre-DVD.
And then I put in my QR code and...
before streaming, they had these big clunky things that you.
There'll be a link on the homepage.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yes, right. I'll put some visual aids for you. So you got a video store across the street from your house. So
blessed with that.
Yes,
and they had the best 80s horror too.
So it wasn't a Blockbuster. It was one of these that like Faces of Death and all that stuff.
Yep, it was great. I got to see so much. I mean, and they were so. I don't know how they did it, but
did they have to beat a curtain too?
They didn't. They had no adult section.
Oh, what kind of business store is that?
They just had great horror movie, great 80s, great everything 80s
or
horror.
Did they?
Or
and you
action
just didn't
or...
notice.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't. I just didn't
You
notice.
Never got through the beaded curtain.
Maybe I didn't, yeah. Mm. I don't know. There was a secret, like a door or something that I didn't know about.
Yes, because some video stores. Oh, by the way, you kids, video stores where you would go to rent movies.
Oh, right.
But when they had porno movies, they had them behind a door, or behind a curtain, or somewhere where the kids aren't supposed to go. Although they did. I actually worked in a video store and they had me categorize every porno movie, like every porno movie, gay porn, all of it, everything. And after that, I lost my appetite for porn.
I worked in a video store in Chicago for a good amount of time, and we had a whole basement of porn. We had a floor of porn.
Well, that's good.
I believe Nationwide Video's claim to fame was the largest selection of porn in Chicago and the largest selection of gay porn in Illinois.
Whoa.
And you worked there.
So were
you
the guy? For years, it was the best job, I think.
No, Warrior Video Store was so much fun. And after I itemized and alphabetized all the porno movies, somebody returned a kung fu movie called Fist Fighter. I'm like, oh, jeez. I didn't have enough fisting today. I got to get Fist Fighter. So what were the 80s horror movies that really stuck with you?
Oh, for sure. Anything Carpenter, Romero's movies, big time, especially Day of the Dead. I mean, Bub is still my favorite zombie of all time. Dawn of the Dead is...
You like Day of the Dead better than Dawn of the Dead?
No, Dawn of the Dead is my favorite zombie movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Bub is my favorite zombie of all time.
Oh, okay.
I just feel like he... Romero, that was... I feel like that was one of the first times that anybody had really made an audience feel sad. Or something for one of the zombies. And that really stuck with me as a kid. And
zombies have feelings too.
Yeah, well, true. So much.
Well,
so,
you would know better than I would. You're right, Zombie Dave.
Right. So much so. Everything I do, the way I move, the faces I make when I'm doing my zombie stuff, the way I train, I basically am always doing my best impersonation of Bub.
Okay. Awesome. And not the your best impersonation of... Jeffrey Dammit with an N. Now, Jeffrey, you've...
With an N.
You've been in so many...
It's a hard N.
If people are, like, looking at their screen and they don't know you, and they're like, he looks so familiar. You've been in so many music videos.
I've been in a few music videos. Yeah, I just did a Little Nas X video.
I was going to get to that. Yeah.
I figured that's where you were going. Yeah. So I walked us over there. yeah.
See, this is sketch comedy at its finest.
The industry baby video, I was one of the prisoners. So I get to attack a prison guard. I get to...
Did you meet Lil Nas X? Was he on set? Or?
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah?
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
No, this guy's everywhere. I loved it. For the last premiere, I was like, oh, you know, I need a new jacket. So I type into Google, goth jacket. What comes up? All these pictures.
Hillary's Vanity's so jacket.
I was like, I can't wear any of these jackets because he's probably going to really wear one of them. So I don't have
everything I've modeled.
Yeah, I would imagine our friend Hillary probably saw all of his stuff on her website. But yeah, you get into modeling, you get into acting, and you get into hosting. I mean, you're just a jack of all trades.
I try. There's you know.
And paparazzi seems to keep catching you on Hollywood Boulevard.
They used to pre-pandemic, actually. I have not... until you said that, I didn't realize yet.
Like every YouTube video of you is like, oh, Jeffrey Dammit, let's ask him about... Let's ask about the presidential election. Let's ask him about...
They always have...
About the George Floyd. Let's ask him about...
They try to catch you off guard. I don't know where they get this shit from.
But they know you're gonna come up with something clever and funny.
I'm trying.
Yes, yeah, so if you go to YouTube... I'm serious. Go to YouTube. There's like... Okay. Jeffrey Dammit, and I put in Dammit, so it'll go there. But because I think that's how they spell
it's close
it too.
Enough for jazz. I don't.
Yeah,
know.
And it's like there's like all these like
you can't spend your time correcting everyone in the world who's not correct.
Yeah, there's like a TMZ wannabe outfit that's just like, hey, it's Jeffrey Dammit, and half the time he's like,
target. I walk my dogs there every damn day.
Yeah, they catch you walking your dogs. And by the way, you were joking about, you know, not having to take a shower and getting all ready for the show. And you got the eyeliner. That's why I didn't wear eyeliner today, because I can't compete with you.
Oh, it's not a competition.
It shouldn't be a competition. But, you know, even when you're, like, in your shorts walking your dog, or I've hung out with you during the day, you always got these crazy socks. You got everything matches. It's like...
The socks make the man.
Yeah.
What am I wearing today? I don't even know. Now that I say that. Sushi socks.
But this is before the whole sock thing, like the whole sock game started.
Oh,
like
yeah.
you were crushing the sock game before anybody else.
I think I stole that from a friend in New Orleans, Matt Von Black. When we started the Noisition Coalition, he started this crazy marching band I was lucky enough to be a part of. And whenever he was in shorts, even before that, bartending and such, he was the first guy I saw wearing sock garters. And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, all right, we're doing this. Luckily, you live here and I live far away.
I forgot about the garters. Yes, you always...
You don't want your socks falling down.
So we're just going to gloss over the fact that he just said he was in a marching band? Like, what did you play?
I played at instruments. They were all Matt Vaughn or homemade instruments. I played something called the Uba, which was a children's harmonic pickup saxophone wired through two guitar distortion pedals, wired into a megaphone, and then 9 feet of air conditioning duct that went up over my head, which looked tuba-esque, so it was the uba.
So even awesome. In a marching band, he's cool.
That sounds awesome, right?
Yeah,
that
everybody.
Like Noisition Coalition was cool, played cool things, made great noise.
Yeah, I played trombone in the marching band.
You know what? I can out-nerd you both. I can out-nerd everybody.
Oh?
Listen to this one. In high school, I was in yearbook camp.
Yearbook camp.
Everybody says, oh, you win. I give up. There's nothing nerdier than that.
You win. It was a camp.
But I was going to say, there was three girls to every guy. It was a great camp. I was one of the best.
See, you're ahead of us.
I was 15. It was one of the best times of my life. Anyway, but Jeffrey, I was going to get to this now. I say this to like every beautiful woman that's here, because every beautiful woman's like, you know, when I was in high school, I was a nerd. Nobody would talk to me, and I was ugly, and I was gangly, and then I just
followed
up. Where are you going
with this?
Were you ever a nerd?
Because
you're always the coolest guy that walks into every room.
I wouldn't say I was a nerd. I'd say I was an outcast, but not a nerd. I feel I didn't study enough for that title.
Really, because because this is what you are now, is somebody that brings everybody together. Like, no matter what clique it is, it's like, oh yeah, Jeffrey's cool. The rest of the guys he hangs out with are...
I did have the benefit The way I describe my social scenarios back in high school, I never got to be in like an actual one of the cliques with the kids my age, but I was always invited. So if you called Dave and said, who's coming to the party, Dave would say, everybody's going to be there. And Jeff.
Now, Dave, I get serious nerd vibes from you. I'm assuming you were a nerd in high school.
No.
No, you're cool. Okay.
I ran the rallies. I mean, by my junior year, I was running the rallies. By my senior year, first rally, I stood in the side. I was carried in by the cheerleaders on a lawn chair. Like, they carried me in, put me in the center of the Prospect High School arena. I looked at everybody. I said, who rules? They said, you, Dave. I said, all right, let's start the rally. And that's how that was how it went.
All right, well, Zombie Dave is the coolest guy in this.
I too, but because of that, I could go to every, every group.
Although I think Jeffrey's going to ask about rally.
Yes,
like pep rally.
My school was 1950s.
I was under the bleachers and not paying much attention, but
yeah, no, my school was very 1950s. Prospect in San Jose was so awesome to go to. We were all about school spirit, and we had like Spirit Week. We dressed up in we dressed up like the girls, and we cheerleaded while the girls played powder puff football. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's very politically correct of you.
It was awesome. It was a great time, to go to school because we had no. It was the last my year 91 dated me.
You didn't have to say.
Well, it doesn't matter. 91 was.
It was in the 20th century, kid.
Right. It was the last year that cops weren't on campus. It was one of the last years that we actually got to be. We were free in San Jose to be just kids.
Nobody was shooting anybody. Awesome. None of that.
No bomb threats. None of that. Yeah, no, okay. No, it was really a fun time to go to school.
Right. Yeah. And you came to LA to be an actor?
Well, I was up there, and I was doing acting up there, and then I got a national commercial for Corn Nuts, and then Lee Jean.
Corn Nuts!
And, right, once you do that, it's like Jed Clampett.
So wait, so you got Corn Nuts and Lee Jeans?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm picturing you in Lee Jeans right now.
Picturing your Corn Nuts because the jeans are tight.
The Lee Jeans commercial I did was with John Lee Hooker. It was awesome.
Oh, I've seen that. That's you?
I was in the back, one of the kids in the background going, yay.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's cooler than the pep rally, I got to tell you that. You got to hang out with John Lee Hooker.
Did, yeah, back in the day. He was really cool.
Well, back in the day was when he was still alive. Well, yeah. When you both were still alive.
Yeah, it was like, right? When we both were still alive. Yeah, it was like 1992, I think.
Yeah. And John Lee Hooker is a very famous blues guy. You should listen to him if you haven't, kids. I got to explain.
Like, are they talking about prostitutes?
Yes.
No.
Hooker, what? No, he was, he was the Blues Brothers. Do you know who John Lee Hooker is?
Right?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Yes, he's a blues singer.
Wait, we're talking about Chong. We have to put a warning on this whole podcast.
I just, because I know we have a younger audience. But
I'll check him out.
You've seen the Blues Brothers, right?
Yeah.
When they're in Chicago and the old guy's singing how that's John Lee.
That's what he did for the commercial. Was that?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's like the commercial.
One song that everybody knows is the how song,
right?
And basically because ZZ Top ripped it off,
right?
But and then you were in Angels in the Outfield.
I was.
And So I Married a Max Murderer.
I was. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had those pretty good 90s credits.
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
I loved that movie too.
I've never seen it. Now I got to see it. Now I have an excuse. I'm sorry.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. It is so funny.
I've heard.
And Mike Myers was so awesome. It was the first set I was ever on. I was supposed to be an extra, but they made me a featured extra, and they sat me right next to Mike Myers in the diner scene. So I'm like diagonally across from him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so green, I didn't know you weren't supposed to talk to the main actors. And so I just looked over at him, and I went, yo, Mike, how'd you get on Saturday Night Live? And everybody went, because you're not supposed to talk to him.
Because that was your dream.
Right. And he looked at me and was like, oh, thank you. And we started talking. We had this great conversation. And as it turns out, he called me out outside and he was like, I was feeling really stressed out in that scene. And I was just going over it and it was really stressing me out. Thank you for talking to me. And
being a fanboy.
Basically. And just taking my attention off it. And it was so funny because people were about to yell at me. And then they heard Mike Myers saying that and they couldn't say anything to me.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Well, you have the stars going, hey, thanks. It's kind of hard to yell at the kid.
Yeah.
But it was so funny. I remember that set. I didn't even know what union or non-union was. And I went over to this table and there was all this food on it. And I put my hand out to reach out for an apple. And this guy out of nowhere yelled at me, hey. are you union or non-union? And I went, I don't know what that means. And he went, you must be non-union. Go over there. And I look, and it's just literally this rickety table with a stale cracker and stale cheese on it.
Yeah, we like, no red vines.
Immediately learned the difference between
yeah, usually they score for red vines.
There's always red vines. Yeah. I didn't even know what there red vines was until I moved vines. To Hollywood.
Yeah, that's how scares it was. I swear to God, I looked at that table and I thought I heard a crying baby in the background. All of a sudden, a fire, you know, and there's it was very scary.
Yeah. We've all been on those right? non-union craft services tables.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
It got a little.
Yeah, there's like a King's buffet for the union people. Mm-hmm. And who knows what Mike Myers eating? That's even better than that.
Oh, he was in his trailer. Yeah, he wasn't even.
Yeah, he's got filet mignon, and you're eating Lunchables.
It was so awesome. Yeah, because it was the weirdest thing.
I'm getting hungry.
what also happened on that set was Mike Myers. He came right up to me and he's like, I know you. And I was 18, this little kid. Mm. I'd never done anything. And he's just looking at me and he's like, I know you. And I just smiled at him. He'd just done Wayne's World. So it was between Wayne's World
and Austin Powers.
Austin Powers had just come out.
Oh, okay.
So, no, Austin Powers hadn't even come out yet.
Oh, okay. So it was between Wayne's World.
Wayne's World 1 and 2. Yeah. And so he's looking at me and he's like, I know you. And I'm like, dude, you don't know me, man. You don't know me. And he's like, I know you. And it was then I realized I probably should have been, yeah, dude, you're right. You totally know me, you know. But I was 18. Yeah, I was scared to death.
You say, of course, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to recommend.
Right, yeah. Now you think about that. But
yeah, you're the one to recommend me to Lorne Michaels, don't you remember?
Right?
Yeah, you 18, want to follow up on that, see what happens.
I was 18, first set, scared to death, and just was like, why is he talking to me? You
know? Right.
But it was amazing. And the movie itself was so awesome. I mean, it was just an extra in it, but I was so happy to just even be a part of it because it's such a cool movie.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
And then, Jeffrey, because of your unique look, you've been an extra in plenty of movies.
I have.
I don't know. Have you?
A couple.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Hmm. Yeah, we're talking about
now I feel Iron bad
Axe Murderer. That was like.
Well, 90. No, you can't beat Angels in the Outfield, and that's why I married an Axe Murderer.
No, you were doing those the Ways to Die thing.
I wasn't an extra in that. I'm trying to think.
No, no, you were the main thing. Things. Yeah.
Or maybe you haven't been an extra. Maybe I'm
no,
way
I
off.
No, I was an extra. It had been a while.
I'm trying to think of some movie I saw that you were an extra in or something, but.
I mean, they're out
did
there.
Did you do Blade when that came through? It seemed like everybody did Blade.
I was not in Blade.
it was either Blade or Super Troopers.
A Thousand Ways to Die is what you brought up.
Right.
Okay.
That was painful.
Now, what was your way that you died?
This is why I brought it up. Tell him.
Well, thanks for your assist, because what I was going for went fucking nowhere. Well, how did you die?
I got you.
Thank you.
Do you want to tell them?
Oh, no.
No, Jeffrey. It's all you. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I play a tattoo artist who decides to one-up another tattoo artist in the studio when we were in the days of body modification.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and may I real fast?
Yes.
To explain what A Thousand Ways to Die is.
Oh, wow.
You can get it on video.
That's even more recent. That was a TV show where they... Go ahead, Nicole.
I was just going to say he was reenacting a real-life person who actually did the following.
They don't have the Spike TV anymore.
It's a Paramount Network now.
They don't have the Spike TV.
So it's even more shocking what he's about to explain. That's what I was saying.
But this is hilarious.
Thank you, Nicole.
He's not getting out of this. Go on.
I'll come back around to what you said, Nicole. But so to one-up the girl who has the split tongue at my work, I decide to swallow a chain, wait till it passes all the way through, and connect it. So now I have one metal chain going all the way through my body.
Oh, typecasting.
Called it the chainus.
The chainus.
the line I accidentally improv that will haunt me for the rest of my life. So I'll say it now anyway. Like, what's this? I'm like, chainus. Chainus gonna make me famous.
Yeah, you gotta take credit for that.
So some douchebag biker came in. And he was a rude or what have you. He wanted like warrior or something tattooed in Japanese kanji on his arm. Mm-hmm. So I wrote something like douchebag on his arm. So he comes back to the tattoo studio to kill me. And I'm running away from him and he chases me out of the building and we run around. I'm hiding behind a bunch of pallets thinking I got to safety when a forklift comes through to pick the pallets up and grabs me by my chainus.
Oh! God.
Lifts me into the air.
Oh.
Ripped him a new ass.
This happened for real to some poor asshole.
No, it's not. Here's something I'm going to tell you, kids.
Oh, wait a second. Yes. Here's a Dark Mark Show exclusive from Jeffrey Dammit.
Here's something I'm going to tell you, kids. Based on actual events, doesn't mean a fucking thing. If you make a movie, say, as good as Dead.
Uh-huh.
Based on a true story.
You could make it based on a true story.
Oh, it is. What are you talking about?
If before we started shooting, those two girls were chased into a barn by anyone at any time in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
Is enough to say this is based on a true story.
So the chainist never really happened?
There's no, you...
Well, you ad-libbed the word.
I know. It's amazing.
So, yes, you a lot of that. Things on these shows that say this actually happened. No, it didn't happen.
You're blowing my mind right now.
So basically, all they need to make the chain a story based on an actual story is somebody at some point somewhere in the world had a body modification and died.
Now, you've never done the chainist yourself?
No!
I don't know what you're doing.
It's a dance I do sometimes without the actual swallowing of the chain.
Yes, you don't want to swallow a chain. I mean, sure, everybody's shoved a chain up their ass, but you don't swallow it.
No. It's more bead-like, not chain-like. No.
Could you even live like that? Like, I can't imagine that would be for real.
It wouldn't be able to work on the sole aspect that if your body's valves didn't close your stomach off to your intestines, you would then be getting your icky stuff going up into your non-icky ready system, and you'd be poisoning yourself with your own shit.
Gross.
Although, you remember they used to have the old-timey toilets with the chain. I don't know. Maybe they did things different those days. So the chainists. We have you to thank for the chainists.
Yes.
And how many people do you think after seeing you... Jeffrey Dammit, handsome man, cool guy, playing a tattoo artist, doing that. How many people do you think tried that after they saw that on Spike TV?
I would guess none, but
they all saw how it worked out. I mean,
I would like literally. To know.
Well, because with that Thousand Ways to Die, I'm sure not the chainist, but I'm sure there were plenty of scenarios like I could survive that.
Well, I used to be in a freak show, and I read some books on some. Old school fakirs and stuff who did weird things. And there was a body flossing scenario where these...
I've heard about it, yeah.
And they'd swallow a long cloth to properly cleanse your system out. It was the full body douche before douches were a thing, I guess.
Oh, Thursdays.
Yeah. So tell us about the freak show stuff, because I know I've seen you play fire and do other things.
Yeah, back in the way back land, back when he still had a VCR.
Right.
And an answering machine.
You still have a VCR, right, Dave?
He still got a VCR and an answering machine. That's why he was late.
Reel to reel.
He checked. Beep. Oh, you got a podcast today, Dave. Yeah.
The last one I did with a landline. I was holding out for dear life. Like, what if something happens?
Yeah.
And all your phones can't be charged? And they're like, who you gonna call? And I'm like, that's a hell of a point, guys.
Yes. Ghostbusters are not going to answer.
I have a working phone and nobody else in L.A. does.
Although my mother in San Diego still has a landline, so there you go.
Give me her number after the show.
Yes.
I can't believe Jeffrey Dammit just asked me for my mom's number. That's great.
I'm surprised
not change. You're such a flirt. I see you everywhere. Now you want to call my mom. Okay, great. Thanks.
Please tell her I said hi.
Well, wait. Let me give you a segue because I'm going to get to Dave. Based on that, and we're going to come back and talk about the freak show. You were in, erotic?
I thought you were going to bust me on already having your mom's number.
No.
Oh, okay.
You were in the movie Erotic Confessions.
Oof. Wow.
I told you it was a bad segue.
Yeah. That's for the shadiest thing. That's for the shadiest thing.
Not only that, you were in the sequel.
No, there's only one. But
tell me what came out.
It's listed on IMDb twice.
Honestly, it's listed because it came out twice. The same thing.
I'll bet it came out twice.
Literally.
Yeah.
No, it was a Skinemax thing. That was the best thing. It was so awesome. I'm fully clothed in it. I'm
even better than Mike Myers.
It was fun because the scene was we were all guests at we were like it was like a bachelor party. And we had to go there and watch this lady strip. And so my job for the day was to watch this lady strip. And me and my best friend, Carl Schweitzer, were on set that day on that thing. And because as soon as she got naked, everybody went quiet. And only me and Carl were continuing to still act. We were like, woo, woo. Because of that, they kept our real audio in. And so my friends, this thing would show on Skinemax in the early 2000s, like constantly right. In the middle of the night.
That's the nickname for Cinemax because they played a lot of dirty movies. But they weren't X-rated. They were
right.
NC-17. So just for the 18 to 24
year olds. My friends would be half asleep or whatever, be, you know, have the TV on or whatever. And then they'd hear my voice. Woo,
oh, God, frightening.
Can I call you to say I just heard your voice?
They did.
Because it proves that I fell asleep watching skin flicks.
Oh, right, right, yeah. Like, sure you were asleep, sure. Yeah, but it was the funniest thing because I never strip. I mean, I'm fully clothed throughout the whole thing. I'm just watching this girl strip. And then later on, the main bachelor wound up having sex with that girl. And that's what the episode was about. But I'm still listed on there because they used my real voice. They gave us real credit. Right. So then I get listed on a Skinemax thing.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to know about it. And I didn't do anything.
Erotic Confessions is also based on true events, too.
Oh, it completely is.
Yes, there was a bachelor party.
Yes.
But there's no chain of... Right? There's no chain of... And Erotic Confessions.
Well, that we know about.
That we know about, yeah. I don't know what you guys
are talking about. That's a show.
That's a totally different...
A thousand ways to erotically confess.
Right, totally different.
Erotic ways to die.
Erotic ways to die, yeah. What, you got a cough? Or you just pulled up your hand?
I was being professional.
This is terrible, but the one story from A Thousand Ways to Die I always remember is this woman was pleasuring herself with a carrot, and a little piece of the carrot broke off.
No!
And went into her bloodstream. I don't know where you thought I was going with that.
No, I was awing at the breaking off. I would have
thought it went into her vajayjay, but okay.
Yeah.
But that's a terrible way to die.
Well, there's blood vessels there. There's all sorts of things.
Yeah, but she punctured the wall.
She did,
yeah. And by the way,
hold on. I'm not believing myself that the show's bullshit. I'm sitting here analyzing a show I was on where I just said they make this shit up completely. And I'm like, wait, how could that actually happen? This couldn't be.
We'll never know. Maybe it was
a cucumber, not a carrot. Who the fuck... Who jerks off to with a carrot? Come on, what's the matter with these people? By the way, you know, speaking of that your friends that called you up just jerked off and fell asleep.
I'm sorry?
When they were watching Erotic Confessions.
When they heard your voice.
Oh, of course.
If they're asleep, they just jerked off.
They fell asleep? Yeah, probably.
If they're falling asleep.
Right, they heard your voice. It's the sex scene.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting all those mental images in my head.
Yes, think about all of those friends that I don't know. They're anonymous to me.
Awesome.
You know them very well.
Awesome.
And they jerked off to your voice.
Great. Yeah.
Woo! Surprise.
Yeah. Going, woo!
Do that one again.
Woo!
Yeah, that sounds like a circus sideshow. Now, you used to do the freak show. Now, tell us about that.
I'm just worried the next time I'm masturbating in the back of my mind, I'm going to hear,
woo! Right?
I've been zombie Dave.
Especially from me, yeah.
Yeah, I can almost guarantee it's going to happen to me, but that's because I'm masturbating right now. Go ahead, Jeffrey. You were in a freak show.
I was the William Dark Circus Sideshow. It was a good time. It was
Chicago.
They were buddies of mine, and he approached me. I think I was doing fire at the time, but I was kind of known in the scene. I was very heavily pierced back in the day, especially.
I did not know. I must have met you. I mean, I remember.
You met me. I still had a bunch of piercings.
I remember a few piercings.
My earlobes were still stretched
right,
out.
Right.
I had surgery, and you know it. That time had passed in my life. When I started getting all those piercings in the early 90s, the yearbook even wrote about me and my piercings in the
right,
early 90s.
I probably met the editor in camp.
Yeah, you know the editor
at
yearbook camp. But then as time progressed and piercings and stuff got a lot more commonplace, I was like, you know, when it was weird and I was the outcast because of it, I enjoyed it. And now that it's normal, you know.
What's this, a chainus? I'm out.
They couldn't beat me, so they joined me, so I left.
That's the thing. Isn't that everything in pop culture? I mean, you were ahead of everybody.
Yeah. But because of the piercings, which were out of place, and the breathing of fire, which was just a fun bar trick, William Dark from the sideshow asked me if I was interested in talking about joining up, and he was looking for a torture act. Mm. And I was in a band. That torture act would be an understatement of what I did on stage. So I'm like, sure. And he actually helped me and taught me a few things. There was the easy stuff, like Mark the Knife Fae would throw knives at me and break cinder blocks on my head. I was the the victim for everything. But then we added in things like I would sew my mouth shut with safety pins.
No!
Or sew buttons to my Adam's apple.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting time.
No judgment. I'm just,
you know, lots of water ballads being chopped off me with sharp swords.
I've seen that.
You
yes.
go, Goth Gallagher.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was Goth Gallagher. I was the table.
Yeah.
But yeah, what else was I doing back then?
Well, were you a singer in a band? Is that what was going on?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Back then I was in a... I don't even know how to describe it. It was an industrial band, but now that I look back, it was a shock rock band.
Right. Go figure.
Yeah. We were called Shaded Reality. I wrote an album with my friend Eric Lewis called Soundtrack for a Suicide that I wrote while living in a Denny's parking lot.
Whoa.
That's as close to suicide as you can get without actually doing it.
That or very punk rock.
I'm a very lucky guy. I was able to get myself out of the predicament what I wanted to get out of the predicament. But I had some rough shit hit me in my life, and I'm like, you know what? I've got a car. I'm putting all my stuff in storage. I need to sit and ponder. And I did that for about 11 months.
I think everybody at Denny's has rough shit happening.
Well, here's what I was going to say. Wait till you hear this 6 degrees of separation. You know who else used to live in a Denny's parking lot?
Who's that?
The rock star Jewel.
Really?
In Pacific Beach. You know who used to work at that Denny's and watch her come in and wash in the sink?
Was he on the yearbook committee?
He went to yearbook camp.
Bam.
So there you go. So you and Jewel have that in common.
You and this pretty chick who looked like a Gelfling from the Dark Crystal both worked at Denny's. So you
No, she
you,
did not work at Denny's. She
you
was
and Jen.
She did not
you,
work at Denny's.
You worked at Denny's.
I worked at Denny's.
Right. So you
I would watch her and her mother go in and use the women's bathroom and wash up.
You never slipped her a moons over my hammy in the back, you know?
I'll slip you
I totally would have. I used to make crazy shakes for my friends. I would make them, like, you know how they have like a little extra on the side with a tin?
Oh, yeah.
I would fill the tin up. And by the way, secret of making a good shake? Hot fudge.
Mm.
Don't use chocolate syrup. Use hot fudge.
That's a secret to a lot of things.
Yes. Speaking of that, let's hear about your band.
I was never in a band.
You were never in a band?
I was in a friend band one time called Six Toe Jesus.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did I get that you were like in some metal band?
No.
I,
what kind of genre is Six Toe Jesus?
I have some of my cast members are in a band.
Well, maybe IMDb or somebody's mixing things up. But Six Toes Jesus? That's a good question. What
gospel?
Is that like a jam band, like a Spin Doctor sort
totally,
of thing?
Like totally. It was like the early 2000s.
Yeah, I was gonna say it sounds like that. Toad the Wet Sprocket and all those kind of like Hootie and like those semi jam bands, Blues Traveler,
more Blues Traveler,
String Cheese Incident. That's what I'm straining for. Right,
our bassist was our lead guitar.
How does that work?
He bassist would play his bass like a lead guitar. It was sort of Primacy.
Okay,
how you know how Les Claypool on Primus leads the band
right.
the bass. That's how our band was.
Right, right, and I could go down a whole Ned's Atomic Dustbin.
A little
spiral, but we don't have time, and our audience is actually demographically too young for that. But it's okay.
But if you ask me what my favorite band is, I'll always say Concept 7.
Oh, yeah? I don't know Concept 7.
No one does. Concept 7 was my friend Max Wassa and Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode.
Wow.
Because mm-hmm. that really?
Mm-hmm.
When was this
I'm being
out?
Totally serious right now. I mean, it was in the early 90s, I believe.
Hmm.
Yeah. But no one heard it. It's on a... here we go. It's a cassette tape.
I give up. I can't even. I can't explain.
But it's kid.
Yeah, right. You can rewind it with a pen.
No, but I remember because I remember the. I even remember the Martin Gore solo records, but not the.
It was that era.
Okay.
While Gore was doing that, Dave Gahan was doing this and was completely whacked out of his head. It's
no. I heard hilarious. He was. I heard he was really fucked up at that time.
It's hilarious, honestly. But that's why I love Concept 7.
I got it.
I mean, and the reason they were Concept 7 was he was Dave 7. My buddy was Max 7.
Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's sounds like a hoot. Because I just listened to the William Shatner Blues album, so I'm going to listen to that next. I'm not kidding.
Well, you can't go wrong with Shatner.
I've got Shatner doing John the Hook. Oh, ho, ho. How, how.
It's very much like that. It's very strange though, because he has
Shatner.
No, Sweet Home, Chicago. It's basically like that.
That's so rad.
And it's weird because he has like Ritchie Blackmore plays on it, Brad Paisley, like Steve Cropper, like really good musicians, and then he's like just
killing it.
You know, just anyway. Enough of William Shatner. Let's talk about actual zombies.
Right on.
Let's talk about your movie.
Right on.
Now, how did you get into directing? Because you were a sketch guy. You just couldn't. You just took the bull by the horns and said, "I'm going to make my own way."
When I first got here, I had a lot of talented friends that were all actors, and then one of my best friends also owned a costume store in Pasadena. And this was in the early 2000s, and actually the year 2000.
Mm-hmm. In the year 2000.
Yes.
Thank you. That's a reference to Conan. Conan used to have a TV show on NBC back in the day. Anyway.
And then he went to TBS, and he's unemployed.
Right.
Jay Leno took his job, and he took George Lopez's job. Right. Anyway, go ahead.
Right. But we had we had this costume store, which gave us 15,000 costumes and blood, latex, everything we would ever need.
Oh, that's great.
Another friend of mine worked at Pasadena Public Access and made the mistake of one day I was making fun of their shows because I was like, ooh, what's the principal going to tell us what's on the menu this week, you know? And he was like, you know, if you don't like the shows, you can make your own. And I went, what? And he went, oh, fuck. Next thing I know, 6 months later, we started Click This.
Oh, that's like in stand-up when they're like, you think you're funny, you go on stage, you start telling jokes, right? And it's like, that never ends well.
And, you know, we killed it. We wound up being their best show, which means all six people that were watching Pasadena Public Access liked us.
100%, 100%. So.
But in doing this show, I was the leader of the group because I'd put the whole thing together, and one of us had to direct, and we were all a bunch of actors. So because I was a leader, I just started directing. And our show was, we were making fun of everything on TV. We were in control. It was Click This. We were in control of your TV show, our TV set for half an hour. And we just flip past channels. So we wound up having to spin.
Kind of like Family Guy, the live version.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. Everybody compares us to Robot Chicken. But we were 4 or 5 years before Robot Chicken.
Right.
Yeah. And so we were in control. We were spoofing everything on TV, so we had to learn every genre and then make fun of it. So my show actually wound up being a crash course in directing for three years.
That's cool.
And then from that, I did my first feature.
That's really cool.
What was your first feature?
Bit Parts.
Tell us about Bit Parts.
Bit Parts is about a plastic surgeon in L.A. that gets into a car accident and he wrecks his daughter's face, so he decides to pose as a casting director looking for the perfect eyes, nose, lips to replace.
Ah, that's a good concept. Yeah.
Dark.
Old story.
Yeah.
What's funny about that movie is we released in 2007, but we shot it in 2003. We were the best micro-budget movie of 2007. No one knows about us because the worst micro-budget, I guess it wasn't really micro-budget, but the worst movie of 2007 is The Room.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Tommy Wiseau. Yeah. Just...
And what's funny is The Room got discovered by this guy, Michael Russolet.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Russolet was my, like one of my PAs on my movie. He was the lowest PA on he just kind of came in out of nowhere. He'd never done any movie before or anything. And then years later, he discovered The Room and made it popular. And I came up to him at a festival one day and I was like, you know, you did all this for The Room. How about the movie that you actually were a part of, Bit Parts? And he went, you know, I still haven't seen that movie. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Thanks,
oh my gosh.
Dude. You know your name's on it.
Wow.
Now, you say that he was the one that spread The Room. Now, mm-hmm. how did he do that?
Him and his buddies had got some success making these little 5-second films or 3-second films thing they were doing. And then they found The Room and they rented a theater and just started doing these showings. And then it turned into this Rocky Horror kind of thing.
Right.
And then it exploded again for Tommy Wiseau.
Because I love The Room. You could have rented a billboard on Hollywood Boulevard, like he did.
If I knew everybody was a fan, we would have started this with "Hi, Mark."
Yes, right.
Yeah,
right.
And I've interviewed I've interviewed Tommy Wiseau on the show. It's
what was me and what was her name? Angeline.
Yeah.
Because
I just voted for her for mayor. So it's,
oh, really?
I did too.
Yeah, because I think I was with you at Lenore's thing where I met her.
But she hasn't had billboards up since the 90s.
Was she texting you afterwards too?
I never gave her my number.
Yeah, she was texting.
I'll bet she was.
Oh, her assistant.
I want to go for a ride in her pink Corvette.
I won the raffle thing for that.
Did you?
And I was going to take my parents, and then we We just never got connected. Oh. So wait a second. So were you flirting with Angeline and she was flirting back? Was that what it was happening?
No, but nobody was flirting. She likes taking people for rides in the car. So if she
it's pretty easy to get.
If she winds up getting your information,
tell her to take Zombie Dave for a ride.
Yeah. You know, she's going to make you want to buy a t-shirt and maybe fill her gas tank.
Right.
That seems worth it. That's fair.
You know what? I would film it for YouTube.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, forward that to me. I might do that for YouTube. And you know, it's worth a tank of gas, even though right now that would be what, $300. But
it's pretty insane right
that's
now.
That's true.
Yes, and that's from somebody who doesn't drive. Thanks, Nicole. Thanks for reminding us what the price of gas is when you don't have a car.
I was literally last night with a friend filling up and I'm like, damn, that's whack.
Who were you with? Snoop Dogg? Who that was whack? Anyway.
Lenora's got her digits.
Yeah, I'll get it from Lenora. I'll get it from Lenora. But I know Lenora's got her digits. I'm sure I can imagine those two riding. Forget it. But let's get to the movie. Because I saw the movie, and this is why I asked you about your directing, because I was impressed with your directing, and actually, Nicole was too.
I was, yeah.
That's really nice of you to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bullshit either.
Thank you, man.
And trust me, I've gone up to directors that have been on the show and said bullshit. And I was very surprised, specifically with sound design.
Yeah, this piece was very interesting because we have a lot going on sound wise, and we actually had to do we recorded sound live for about the first of the film itself, probably the first 30 seconds, mm-hmm. and then the rest of it is all done later.
Yeah, it was very impressive, and
it's also cinematically very stunning. Like, I'm not going to go into details.
Wow, you guys are really awesome.
No, the lighting. There's one shot that doesn't spoil anything. It's
it was just you can say the lighting if you want, but the part that I want to talk about, I can't talk about yet. But there's a part.
Oh, that part. Yeah,
it's really beautiful. And I think it was just very cinematic.
Yes. It goes from gruesome to beautiful to gruesome again.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I can sort of talk about that and say there's a reason I did that. Because the film itself is so weird that I felt like I had to make something very artistically beautiful about it. Just so that when people saw it and they went through it and they went, Dave is a complete idiot. They would go, whoa, wait, no. There was this artistic part. So he must have a brain in his head somewhere.
Well, without spoiling anything, and you are Zombie Dave.
I am,
As good as dead. And I think you can qualify this as a zombie movie.
For sure.
And this gentleman here plays a zombie, yet your hair is the same.
Just because I die doesn't mean my hair is going to get messed up. I mean, come on.
Well, that's kind of a me thing. With Zombie Dave and My Whole Zombies, I believe that some zombies, you retain some things. And I know that if Jeffrey and I were ever zombied, if we went by a reflection, you'd still see us stop and make sure the hair is up.
Right. No, you're not losing your hair even after death. And also, I think the beard was there. It was going too.
With the prosthetics.
No beard. No beard. Okay.
That was my fault too. Yes.
I could have kept it.
Right. We had the amazing, amazing effects, Boneyard effects on us with Larry Bones and Cheryl Bones and their team. They're amazing. They do Walking Dead effects. That's why the zombies on this one are
the
like,
zombies were so good.
They're the coolest zombies I've ever had.
Yeah.
And when they were doing Jeffrey's face, because they were doing so much prosthetics, I just assumed that they would want him clean shaven.
Motherfucker.
He asked me, and I said, nope, you know what, shave it up. Because, I mean, I didn't want the latex to get...
Right.
I've had that
Dave
before.
Didn't want there to be a superior beard in one of his films. That's what this is.
Not true at all. But probably a little bit. But no. But I was just worried about... I was worried about him. I didn't want the latex to get stuck in
right,
the beard.
Right, no, I understand.
But then I talked to Larry, and Larry's they're so awesome. They were like, no, we could have worked around that just fine. And then he was like, yeah, I
got it. Not even that. When they put the prosthetics on me, it goes to right here.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, you could have had...
It didn't touch my hair the whole thing.
And by the way, we glossed over earlier, beard competitions.
Oh.
And you were beard... How was a beard competition?
This was a very short-lived part of my life.
You were into it, though. I remember. You were totally into it.
I was until the fire. Do you remember the fire?
I don't remember anything about it.
Do you remember my old nose?
No.
I lost that with my facial hair.
Oh, man.
Oh, you got to tell the story. What's going on with this?
So... Me and Robert Starnes, the co-captain of the Joseph Palmer League, a sport bearding team based out of New Orleans.
I'm sorry if I'm laughing.
I can't make this shit up. Robert Starnes was also a member of the Noisition Coalition, the crazy marching band we discussed earlier.
Right.
Or later, depending on the editing. And he and I were getting ready to head to, I believe, Germany late in the summer of 2000 to compete in the World Beard and Mustache Championships. I had already been on Jimmy Kimmel because I was a finalist in one of the Jack FM Mustache March something or another.
No, because you had the stash out.
Back in the early 2000s, I was the one with the pointy stash and the long goatee.
Did you Raleigh fingers that?
Again, yes. Before.
Wow.
Before,
no, but, no, but before it wasn't scrolled up. It was like, ow.
Oh, I did the points.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It was curb feelers on my upper lip.
Nice.
Yes.
And then one day, while doing a music video.
Yes. They call those thigh massagers.
While doing a music video and blowing fire, running out of fuel, using fuel I shouldn't have used.
Oh, no.
Because it was take after take after take of me juggling bottles, playing a bartender, catching a bottle on the back of my hand and blowing fire off it. Three or four takes in, bottle hits my hand, smacks me in the face. My face blows up.
Oh, my God.
I had a mouthful of God knows what. I don't know what to say because I don't want anybody to try this, honestly.
You'll see it next week on 1,000 Ways to Die.
Yes, this is based on a true story.
What video was this?
I don't even remember the guy's name. This was 14 years ago.
Right.
He was some European version of American Idol winner.
Mm.
That's all I really knew about him.
Okay.
It came through my old agent back then. And I got the fire out fast because I have my safety measures around.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I was in shock because everybody's, and I'm like, no, just don't cut. Keep going. Bring, come around again. And I'm going to fix my mustache and it's just blood and soot.
Oh my God.
And I try to fix my beard and it's just all falling off in my hands and there's blood pouring out of my chin.
Oh Jesus.
And, yeah, I was a dragon.
I guess so.
Yeah. So they insisted that, that I go to the hospital. I went to the hospital and I had already had a bad nose, just technically speaking, but this sealed the deal. So now the center of my nose, after a couple different doctors, the center of my nose is made out of the cartilage from my right ear.
Wow.
Well, I didn't know that.
And now it's pretty much where it's supposed to be, as long as you look at it straight on.
Right.
Or from the left.
Yeah.
Although it really just wants to keep laying down.
Yeah, so I'm going to take the camera and just...
Yeah, I mean, if you look, you can tell
I can see, yeah,
it's
yeah.
still trying to lay on my left
right,
cheek. It doesn't
right,
want
right.
to stay out.
Right. Oh, wow, that's gnarly.
Yeah, so that's...
Sorry
but
to
that's,
hear that happened.
So yeah. It was a very short-lived facial hair career.
No, I just remember how excited you were about going to the Beard Festival. I would see you every week, and you'd be like, oh, Beard Festival, yeah. I can't wait, and then... I guess I didn't see you for a while.
In 2007, I lost my wife, my nose, and my beard.
Oh,
I missed that beard.
That's a country song.
Yeah, that's...
I'm glad Dave got that joke.
Now, how did you get involved with this movie? How did Dave coerce you? Have you guys been planning on working together for a while? Or
I was hoping. I mean, I met him interviewing him about previous horror things he has done.
Right. Horror or not horror? Because he did the Skinamax.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
horror.
Horror.
Yeah.
Mowage. Horror. We've got this.
Okay. Yeah.
we had talked about a few things over the years. I have luckily been in a bunch of stuff. I have some more stuff coming out.
That's great.
One is an improv role on a almost game show thing that should be airing soon. One is playing somebody being interrogated on a cop show coming up soon. But much like Dave, I grew up on horror movies. I moved to L.A. to be in horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm booked in a lot of comedies, a lot of action things.
Right.
So I was always kind of stepping on him like, when are we going to do something? When are we going to do something? And this came up in the middle of COVID, and he's like, hey, you scared to work? And I'm like, nah, I just had it. What are we doing?
Right? Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know you had it. Jeez.
I did.
Yeah. I'm glad you lived to tell the tale.
I did. I'm not one to sit around passively too much.
Yeah, it's going to be a couple more minutes, Dave. Oh, you have to pee.
Oh, well, yeah. I was trying to mouth that to you, but
well, go ahead.
Thing went through me. These Raise things are awesome, but they do make you gotta pee very, very quickly.
Okay, well, I think that's we've done an hour and 15, and we can go for hours, but I think that's a good time to stop when you have to pee.
Oh, we have so much more to say. I don't want to stop it. I can hold it if we got more to say.
No. Well, go ahead. What do you want to say?
Let me finish. What the fuck was I saying?
You were talking about burning your face. And then we were talking about
horror movies.
Right. Yeah, how did you end up in a movie? And you can go to the bathroom, Nicole, if you want to show them where the bathroom is.
Sweet.
We will talk about how
we
you ended up
in a movie. COVID at that point.
Yes, well, you had COVID.
I did have COVID.
You had COVID, and now he has a weak bladder.
Well, COVID will do that to your bladder.
Really?
He just got... No, I have no fucking idea.
COVID. I've never had
it. Here's the thing. Even though I had COVID, I'm not a doctor. Don't fucking listen to me for advice on medical things. God, people are
Well,
so
what were your symptoms?
I had symptoms, and my roommate got it for me, which were completely opposite his and anything else I heard. I had the fever and the shakes and the sweats. Real high fever, went up real fast.
Right.
But I had the weirdest muscular body ache that was almost on my skin. It felt like I got my ass beat by 30 people in huge combat boots. I couldn't lay down. I couldn't sleep.
Right.
Like, it felt, everything I did felt like I was leaning on a bruise.
Hmm.
It was the weirdest thing. I'm not one to sit on my bruised ass, though. So before I even had my test results back, I was already entering a bunch of clinical trials.
Okay.
So within 24 hours of my positive test coming back, I was getting a vein full of Regeneron.
Okay.
And that was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. 5 days later, I was testing negative. So that stuff was amazing. I was going downhill fast, and that Regeneron just flipped me right around.
Well, that's great. So you've been wanting to be in horror movies. I'm surprised you haven't been, because I think you'd be great.
Well, I hate to be rude to my community, but a lot of the horror movies I've been offered are not union films.
Right.
I've been a SAG actor since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been offered a bunch of things.
Right.
But I can't do them unless they play by the rules that I did not set forth.
Okay.
Dave's production is a whole other thing because it wasn't work.
Right.
This was he didn't call my agent to discuss rates. He said, "Hey, we're doing this night." And I said, "Fuck yeah, I'll be there."
Yeah. So it's just fun, just hanging out and doing something.
And now I'm going to get kicked out of SAG.
No, I don't think so. Nobody's going to.
I don't think so. I don't know the rules, and luckily I don't know the rules because I can play stupid, at least if they do contact me. But for things that you're just favoring up for a friend, you know, it was just a really, really, really good student film long after we left school. Yeah.
Right.
That's my story.
Right.
Stick it to it.
Yeah, I filmed that before I was in SAG. Yeah.
We did that. We were in a yearbook camp, and we had to shoot an ad for the yearbook.
Yes, of course. Now that you're refreshed, you urinated the whole thing. So the movie... It's a short. It's a very short movie. Where do you go with this? Where is this shown, and what do you do with it?
Right now we're hitting film festivals all over the world, all over the country. But right up next we have Scream Fest actually next week at the Chinese Theater. We were blessed to premiere it as part of the Dances with Films Festival about a month ago at the Chinese Theater, and showing at the Chinese Theater is like a bucket list thing. I was happy with doing it once. We are so blessed to get to go right back there again next week, actually October 15th at 5 p.m. at the Chinese Theater as part of the Screamfest Film Festival. Then the very next day, we're in Doyle, California at the Brainwash Film Festival.
Nice.
And
where's Doyle?
Up north near Oakland, I think. It's way north.
Okay.
Am I going to that?
If you want to. It's literally the next day.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, it's literally the next day. I didn't expect any of us to go to it. But, maybe if we could. But, Screamfest is so huge.
They're making weekend plans during the show. You realize
this. Yeah. These are exciting plans.
We're going to Doyle. Come to Doyle with us.
Yes, right. Yes.
Pack a picnic baskets. We'll have a blast.
And then we've just got a bunch of festivals coming up that I... can't say yet because they They make us wait on actually right. telling people.
Well, that's very exciting.
But we do have a bunch more coming up, yeah.
You have your next project, have you already filmed it? Is it in post-production or?
No. My next project, what I want to do is it's going to be one of two things. It's going to be either the short that I already have written that I've been holding on for the past 7 years. And it stars the lovely Brooke Lewis, who you guys may or may not know. She's awesome. And it's called Love Potion Number 8. Mm. Either that one, or I might be doing the feature, The Morbid Mariachi. Mm. But it depends on what the company that gave us the camera for this film, Burns and Sawyer, they're freaking awesome. So it depends on what they want to do, and we'll go from there.
I like The Morbid Mariachi. That's a great title.
I love that. That one came... that was such a crazy idea. I had the idea at one point, and I had the middle of the idea, and knew that I wasn't a good enough writer at that point to do the justice of doing the beginning and the end of it. So I actually waited 4 years on writing it. And then one day I was driving home, and in the middle of the night, about 4 a.m., from Anaheim back to Hollywood... And it was a really foggy night. And through the fog...
That's usually a morbid drive. I've done that.
Right, right. But through the fog, I saw my lead character, which is the Morbid Mariachi himself, which he's a skeleton, all skeleton, wearing a mariachi outfit with very red eyes.
Oh, okay.
I saw him leap through the fog, land on the hood of my car, and he was standing there all majestic. The wind was blowing through him. And he looked down at me and pointed at the window at me and said, "Write me now." And I looked at the clock, looked up at him, and said, "I'm driving. And what the fuck? You know, I mean, this is how my head works." And I said, "I can't do that." And he put his face right up against the glass, red eyes, and said, "Write me now." And I went, shit, pulled over, spent the next 4 hours writing this really in-depth poem of it, and figured that was good enough, threw it on Facebook. Literally 2 days later, the investor I was going to use at that time saw my poem and went, "Can you write a movie on that?" I laughed and said, "Wow, my characters know when they're supposed to come to life better than I do, apparently."
Yeah, but you sure you weren't on Renegade Kush at the time?
I might have been.
Yeah,
I might have been. It was either that or the Ray's energy drink.
Because you were saying like there's a skeleton. I was actually picturing, because I was like, Jeffrey would be great at it, but then you can't do that kind of casting now. Danny Trejo, like it's the Morbid Mariachi, and he's in every movie. But I guess you could motion capture you as the skeleton.
I could lose more weight.
Well,
The Morbid Mariachi is really weird. It's what it's about is it's about the skeleton mariachi. What he is he's the Avenger of Broken Hearts. If ever you use love badly for personal gain or for financial gain or just wrong. The Morbid Mariachi will come to you, he'll sing you his song and make you fall in love, and just when your heart's about to burst out of your chest, that's when he reaches into your chest, pulls out your heart, puts it in his guitar case, brings it to the Santa Muerte, she cleans it and sends it back out into the universe clean.
Wow.
So yes, you were on Renegade Kush.
There you go.
That's fantastic.
So Jeffrey, what are your next plans? What's going on with you?
What's going on next with me?
Going to New Orleans for the Endless Night Vampire Ball?
I am not. For Halloween weekend, I am bringing back the mayor of Crazy Town.
Yay.
At Insomniac's Escape Psycho Circus.
Yay!
I am on Halloween going with my sister to see a band at the Fonda that is like some satanic kind of oldies duo act. I think it's a husband and wife. She played it for me. Twin something? I wish I could remember the name.
Yeah, Morbid Mariachi might be opening up.
They are
right on.